It is no secret that the IRS makes things really complex and really confusing. And frankly, we have to jump through so many hurdles to do things the way that they want us to. And today's episode topic is no different. We are talking about electing S-Corp for your LLC, for your business, and whether or not you could be out of compliance with the IRS without even realizing it. What to do about it if you are, and next steps. Let's jump right to it. Hey friend, welcome to the Small Business Finance Podcast. Do you want confidence and clarity with your business finances? Do you find yourself up late at night searching for tax deductions, how to track your business finances, or for QuickBooks tips? Do you wake up with big, ambitious goals, but you end up feeling confused and frustrated because accounting and tax is really foreign? Hi, I'm Tiffany. I've heard this so many times from clients who used to feel this way. They felt overwhelmed about what to do with their numbers and wish that they could stop the financial madness. They wanted clarity and the ability to grasp the financial basics, know who to call when they had a question, and to stop worrying about owing money to the IRS, but they thought they weren't good with numbers, and the overwhelm kept them stuck without any solid financial plan until they realized that business systems are the ticket to gaining financial confidence. In this podcast, you will learn step-by-step systems, easy-to-understand financial tips, and mindset transformation so that you will gain financial confidence as an entrepreneur. Dust off your spreadsheet, warm up your coffee, and let's get going.
There are a variety of different rules surrounding whether or not you can elect S-Corp status. One of those rules is that all shareholders must sign the election for S-Corp. To elect S-Corp, you will fill out a form 2553. On that form, there is a spot for all shareholders. Now, one caveat: in order to be an S-Corp, you have to have less than 100 shareholders, and there are other rules to determine whether or not you would be in compliance to be an S-Corp or not. And if you are living in one of those states and you don't get your spouse to sign the form 2553, you could be in hot water. You might say, Tiffany, my spouse does not actually own anything, any part of my business. They are not involved in the business. They have nothing to do with the business. Why in the world would my spouse need to sign this form? At which point I would tell you the reason is because you live in a community property state and your state views assets that are added to your marriage during the life of your marriage as joint property. You are both owners. And so because of that, your spouse needs to sign the election form. The other issue is that you cannot list your spouse on that form, the form 2553, if they are not actually an owner. So then the question is, what do you mean, Tiffany? You're telling me two different things. These things are not in alignment. They're opposites, what you're saying. You say, add them to the form because you're in a community property state, even if they don't own the form. But then also the rules say that any non-owners cannot be on the form. Okay, so let's talk through exactly how you make this happen. First things first, there's a page. It's the last page of the form 2553 that lists the shareholders. Your name will, of course, have however many shares you own. When that ownership started, you're going to have to put some specific details of it. For your spouse, for someone who lives in a community property state, your spouse will not show any ownership. There will be no percentage ownership. There'll be no shares that are owned. And there definitely would not be a date associated with that because they don't own it. You're literally just putting their name and address, and that's it. And by doing that, you are fulfilling the rules of the IRS. One thing that you need to be mindful of in doing this is that if your spouse is not a U.S. citizen, you are not going to be able to be an S-Corp. So basically what happens is only U.S. citizens can own an S-Corp. Non-U.S. citizens can be owners of partnerships, but not S-Corps. And as you can tell, with all things IRS and tax laws, it can get fairly complex fairly quickly, especially if you don't have some sort of like cut and dry, very black and white type of scenario. So you'll want to work with someone who knows the ins and outs. If you fall into a category of having a spouse that is international, non-U.S. citizen, or something like that, some sort of a different type
fact point of the circumstances. But barring that being a problem and you are married in a community property, say the spouse just has nothing to do with the business, doesn't legally own any of the business, then this is how you would handle it. Just make sure they get listed. Do not tie them to any kind of ownership percentage or number of shares, and do not put a date on when that share was, because they didn't get any. So there's no date to put there either. And by doing this, you are in compliance with having your spouse consent. And that is what the IRS is looking for. They want to make sure that the spouse is consenting to the S election. All right. So you might say next, Tiffany, what happens if I elected S Corp years ago and my spouse did not sign the form? I had no idea I was supposed to do this. And now I have this S election that I'm afraid the IRS would throw out under audit. What do we do now? What are the next steps to actually get this resolved? First of all, the only way that you're going to have to deal with this with the IRS is if you do get audited, and this would be an audit that is like an in-person audit. There's varying degrees of audits. It is pretty rare. It's the most rare type of audit there is. But typically, it's going to be under that scenario that you're going to have to defend your S election. So let's just say what worst case scenario that happens and you have this agent in front of you. The flip side is that they would have to scrutinize that particular part of the return. Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. Who knows? Hopefully you don't ever find out. But they would have to go in and say, hey, I need to see your form 2553. I want to make sure that it was signed the right way. Give me some backup documentation, et cetera, et cetera. And then at that point, they could throw it out. It is possible. It is not probable, if I had to guess, but it could happen. So let's say Mr. IRS agent is in front of you and you were having this conversation and he said, you're not actually an S Corp. And you say, I am. I sent in the form. It was accepted. All is well. And he says, no, your spouse did not sign this form. Therefore, you are not actually an S Corp. You live in Texas. You have a community property state. I'm throwing it out. In that scenario, you're going to want to basically beg the IRS agent to work with you and accept it. So you are asking them to basically ask the IRS to bless the invalid S corporation election. This is typically going to be under U.S. tax court, some sort of a U.S. tax court case as well. That's the other part of this, is you would likely be in court for your taxes. And you would just ask them, hey, can you approve this and make it fine? Just bless the fact that I had this invalid S corporation election. That is how that would work. The flip side of that is if you are more risk averse, more proactive, you could request a letter ruling. This is basically getting automatic IRS consent for the S election. Now, you're going to have to get help for that. It's going to require writing to the IRS to give the approval using this letter ruling. There's not like some sort of a specific form. That's its own process. You would need to work with your CPA to get through that process and get that done if that's what you want to do. I cannot provide a recommendation on what you should do, but I can tell you that statistically speaking, the likelihood of the IRS coming after you for this specific thing is minimal. But if you are considering electing S Corp and you are in a community property, you will definitely want to get your spouse's signature on that form so that you do it right from the beginning. Like all things tax planning, tax optimization, anything related to compliance with the IRS, we want to make sure we do things from the beginning. As you set up these tax strategies and you decide, hey, I should elect S Corp. Maybe you are working with your CPA and they've determined you should. Make sure if you are in a community property safe, they are adding your spouse's signature to that form 2553. That way you are covered from the beginning and you don't have to worry about the potential of something being an issue in the future, because really if we can eliminate that kind of worry and concern, then that's going to be the best scenario right there. So I hope this has been helpful. And if you would share this with a friend, a colleague, someone else that you think would enjoy this episode or enjoy the podcast, I would love it if you do that, because it gets the word out. More people can hear the podcast, start debunking this small business finance has to be confusing, because it doesn't. And give them some of the golden nuggets that you're getting from listening to my podcast. And with that said, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for investing your time listening to my podcast, and I can't wait until next time.